Hey everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday. How are you? Hope you had a great weekend. Brad and I had a killer weekend in Las Vegas. Thank you to Paul and Khaki and the Crapshoot Comedy Festival for all your hospitality. The live ALN was fucking so fun. It was Brad, myself, Beth Stelling, Ryan Sickler, and Chris Porter, and Avery Pearson. That episode will be up on Thursday, so make sure you are subscribed so you can get it and enjoy the fun. We really had a blast on that one. And I introduced a new song as well about a personal experience of mine when I was cheated on. Yeah, I think you're really going to dig it. I think I'm going to lay it down in the studio, actually, this week and bring it on Adam Carolla the next time I go on. So anyway, look out for that episode on Thursday. Today's episode is a blast. Holy shit. You know him from Scream. You know him from Malibu's Most Wanted. You know him from Kicking It Old School. You know him from his show, The Jamie Kennedy Experiment. You know him from his stand-up film, Heckler. You know him from everything. He's been around, and he's, man, just a super, super funny dude and a super great dude and an amazing conversationalist with stories that he's coming back, like, very soon. That's how amazing these stories were, and 90 minutes flew by. I'm talking about Jamie Kennedy making his ALN debut. And fucking brings it, dude. From working to Pizza Hut and Blockbuster to how a Vans commercial changed his career, his movie Heckler, and just dissecting the Heckler experience in a stand-up comedy club is insane, which, by the way, you got to check out Heckler. It's on Amazon, Hulu, I think, and Netflix. He talks some great Scream stories from the making of Scream, how he got the part, meeting Wes Craven. That's insane. It's just a really great episode. Like, it's an instant classic, one of Brad and I's faves. And Jamie's a great dude, and we were pumped to get him on, and he'll be on real soon. So check out all his tour dates at jamiekennedy.com. Follow him on Twitter at jamiekennedy. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, at ALN Podcast on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram. Tour dates tomorrow night, my big Adam Ray and Buddy show at the Comedy Store, Main Room, 8:30. Me, Nikki Glazer, Tom Segura, Brendan Shaw, Brian Callen, Sal Volcano from Impractical Jokers, and a special guest that I can't say yet, but you don't want to miss it. 8:30, Main Room of the Comedy Store here in LA tomorrow night. Get your tickets at comedystore.com. And then I've got some other shows this week, Wednesday and Thursday, Laugh Factory and The Improv. Check AdamRayTV.com for all those details. And then Friday night, I will be with Brad Williams at the Brea Improv in Brea, California. So two shows Friday night, and then I'll be there Sunday night. I'm not going to do the Saturday shows because I'm going to go see my boy Joey Mack at the Anaheim House of Blues for his New Kids tour. But Friday and Sunday, Brea Improv with Brad Williams. Brad Williams will be at the Brea Improv Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I will be there Friday and Sunday. Get your tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com and come see us. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for all your ALN merch. So many great episodes coming up. I've said it before, but I'll say it again, man. I hope you guys enjoyed that Jimmy O Yang episode. That was super fun. We've just locked in Jermaine Fowler from Superior Donuts. And did you ever see The Bachelor this season with Nick? Yeah, he's coming on the podcast in mid-June. So how about that? How about them apples? All right, Return of the Mac, a few episodes left. Wednesday, 8:30 on Pop TV. Make sure you DVR it, watch it, love it, rewatch it again. Now that we got the Joey Mac details out of the way, the tour dates, the Twitter handles, the merch info, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very, very funny Jamie Kennedy.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. No podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
Can you hear yourself?
Yes, beautiful.
Can you see the gummy bears well enough?
They're gorgeous. Smell, you got it all sexy for me.
See, that would be,
I know how you like it.
That would be dangerous to have a bowl full of gummy bears in my house, because it'd be gone in a day. I don't know how, as a former fat kid, that you're staying away from the gummy bears.
You know, it's like when you guys leave, I'll probably dip my face in those for a minute.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were a fatty.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, baby.
How much?
I think I remember clocking, like, the one time I looked at the scale, because usually you're just trying to gauge it by looking in the mirror, and that's not a good way to do it. You got to look down and see those numbers and see what they're telling you.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
because I'm looking in the mirror and you just get accustomed as a fat kid. You're also, I've said this on stage, it's like fat kids don't know they're fat until they get signs from the outside. Like, I was so happy-go-lucky that, like, it took parents of my friends to start, like, making fun of me for me to be like, oh, maybe there's something going on.
Oh, man.
Dude, what a bold move from some of these adults. And it wasn't, like, really inappropriate shit. It wasn't like they would watch me chowing down on their snacks and be like, hey, Adam, when you're done with those graham crackers, you got time for a titty fuck? Like, it wasn't, like, real, you know, inappropriate. It was more like... It's more like, you're trying to set a world record for most handy snacks eaten, you know? And I would be like, yeah, you
well,
know. Is that a challenge?
Yeah, and then, now that you bring it up, it would be nice to get in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You were happy.
Happy, dude.
You were happy.
Because you show up places, dude. Everyone was a fat kid. Also, I was like, then I started becoming the funny. I've said this before. Then I became like funny and I was no longer the fat kid. I was like the funny kid. And that's when I was like, okay, I think comedy's what I'm going to try
to
jam.
Is that California?
With. No, this was in Seattle.
Seattle, yeah. Wow.
But you know, stop making amazing treats for kids. Did you ever have a go-to treat as a kid?
Chips Ahoy.
There you go.
Chips
dude.
Ahoy cereal, which is literally just chocolate chip cookies.
Well, you went to the cereal.
Cereal?
I just did the cookie.
Yeah.
Chips Ahoy cookie.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking of Cookie Crisp.
You're thinking
Yeah, that's right.
They have a cereal? Chips Ahoy?
Dude, fucking dwarves in their cookie talk, dude.
You know what? You would think my people would be more of an expert. But not so much.
Ahoy.
Well, you know what? I was trying to talk down Chips Ahoy because they're a competitor of Keebler. So, you know, I'm trying to lessen their brand and make sure people remain on the Keebler. What are the rainbow chips?
Yeah,
that was. I don't know why I'm looking at you. My people make the shit anyway.
Yeah. you didn't. You can't. You've lived here your whole life, yeah?
No. You since I'm 18.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. You moved out here from Upper Darby. Did I read that
upper
correctly?
Upper Darby.
Oh
yeah.
Shit.
Which is Philadelphia adjacent.
Yes, it's right next to Philly. But a lot of heads come from Upper Darby.
Yeah. Why do Philadelphia people boo everything? Why'd you boo Santa Claus? Why?
Booed Santa Claus.
You know,
yeah.
After leaving, you realize you know it's negative when mm-hmm. you're there, and then when you leave, then you come back and you realize, man, it's much more negative than I ever remember. It's even more negative. I think there's a problem there. People are miserable, and they're really unhappy. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, how did you get out?
I just fucking left, dude. I was completely, I couldn't take it anymore. I graduated high school. I got out of jail.
And you were just like, I'm...
No, high school meaning jail.
Yeah.
I was like,
whoa, breaking story. Jamie Kennedy, ex-felon.
I just left, and I was like, long story, I got to become an extra in Dead Poets Society. Which
Shut up.
Yeah, it was my first thing ever in this business.
Oh, my God.
And it was crazy. I know.
Extra work, which that's where a lot of people have to start. It's where you have to start because, believe it or not, when you come out to Hollywood, no one's banging down your door going, hey, do you want to do this movie with Christopher Walken? It's like, no. It's like you have to move up to something.
I know. But people always said that. Like my mom would say, like, I wanted to go to acting school. And she's like, mm-hmm. okay, did they have job placement? Yeah, and it's like, okay, basements, commercials, you know, first floors, guest spots. No. They don't have. So
yeah.
That's how I, then I came out here, and that's how it started.
Did you have, any sort of theater, did you acting in high school or like?
Nothing.
Nothing.
You were just a goofball.
I was a goofball. Like, you know, different, without the weight. But yeah. I was a goofball.
All right, man. Take it easy.
No, but I was just like, you know, a goofball, and everything that was like, you're weird was like mm-hmm. revered when you came to L.A.
Yeah.
Because everybody...
This is where all the weirdos come.
Yes, but they were like, we like you. Like, and you take an acting class, and like a girl who is like hot, who would never even look in your direction, is like, you did that scene great. And it's like, we had to like, oh my God, I want to fucking pound you. Like, I thought I was on radio. Can I say that?
Yeah.
No,
you're fine.
Yeah.
Dude, you're like, wow, that's
I was just being me.
Yeah. Hell, why do you think I started being funny? Yeah. Same shit.
Yes.
People are like, oh wow, your process is really good. It's like my process is just trying to get myself laid. That's it. That's
a big part of it.
Yeah, that's my process.
Who did you look up to before you came out here? Like, who were your guys? Who you're like, I gotta get that career.
Tom Hanks,
Don Cheadle.
Well, I never.
Danny Bonaducci. One of those three. Pick one.
Oh, they're all good. Yeah. I didn't come out here
to do that.
Honest to God, I didn't come out here with stars in my eyes. Mm-hmm. I came out here to be an extra because I was an extra. And I
that's all you knew.
That's all I knew. So I thought, if I can just make a living as an extra, it'll be great.
Oh my God, dude.
But wait, check this out. So I thought about this recently, why it works out for me, because you know how people say, like, you know, I'll go out to LA and I'll give myself a year or 2 years, and if someone doesn't recognize me, I'll just go back to nursing school. Like, you know,
yes.
Like, horrifically disrespectful to our business.
Yeah.
This
right.
is, this is a
I'll
top,
give it a shot.
I'll give it a shot. Right? You don't give. I'll give rocket scientists a shot.
Yeah. And then if they don't recognize my talent,
yes, it's all
then,
because it's disrespectful. People think it's right. easy. They don't understand. I was came out before I left. I said, you know, I'll give myself 10 years. And
there
I
you
said,
go.
If I don't get a commercial within 10 years, I'll be 28. I can figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't ask for kind of a better, healthier outlook than that. I
no,
said,
sure.
All I need. So, like, I started doing extra work, and then I got to be a featured extra, and then eventually I got, like, a line, and that's how I worked. But, like, once I started getting it, and then people were feeding me back stuff, that was a lot of struggle before all that. But
yeah.
Once I got the positive feedback, hey, you're funny. That's how I was like, maybe I'm in the right business. You know what I mean? But it took those little steps.
Was stand-up ever even on your radar, or were you just thinking about being an extra?
No, my favorite people of comedy was Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Okay. Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
David Letterman and Dick Cavett. Those were like
all stand-ups and hosts.
Yes, yeah. Right. But I didn't know I wanted to do what they did. And then I had the SNL thing like everybody else
yep.
did.
Sure.
And then when I came out here, it was a bunch of improv groups. So I auditioned for them. I eventually got in, and then all of them shut down. Now, before all this, and there was one place left called the Groundlings.
Yep.
And to join the Groundlings, you had to have money. And I'm like, well, I don't really have a lot of money. And they're like, well, you got to take these classes and work your way up. I'm like, well, I just want to do these voices. They're like, well, you got to pay the money. And I'm like, well, I don't have the money.
Right.
So then, like, somebody hit me to stand up, and I was 19. That's when I did my first open mic, and I was like, I can do this for free. That's how it happened.
Wow.
Thank God that there is, like, other outlets.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, Groundlings and improv, that's all great. But, you know, when
if you're broke. Yeah,
makes you wonder what kind of talent they're missing out on by jacking those prices up, right?
Well, think about it. I mean,
Or are we just lucky that, you know, that stand-up, like, or stand-up lucky is what I'm saying.
I mean, I don't know how the world works now. I don't know those schools, but it's like, I don't know. But literally, like, Second City, you auditioned.
Yeah.
And you get in, you know, and you work. And I mean, maybe there was some school, but a lot of it was if you got in. But stand-up is free, and it's hard as fuck. And everybody out there is in it. And if you can move up the ranks, I think he says something about you.
Yeah.
Well, who were when you said SNL was like a part of the dream, because like Jamie Kennedy Experiment to me is still one of the greatest TV shows of all time.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude.
Appreciate that.
One of the original prank shows.
Yes.
And the original ones where, like, you know, the characters you did were fucking like all you could take and put on SNL. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
So I would watch that, and now having you here, I would like, where, because you were saying, that was kind of a dream, but like, and you didn't really do theater and stuff, but like having voices and characters, like you did them so seamlessly. I'm like, oh, this motherfucker for sure had some sort of like, I don't know, some in with like Sherry O'Terry's grandpa who gave you like sketch.
Wait, Sherry's from Philly. Tina Fey's from Philly.
For real?
All
right.
Yeah, they're all.
Wow.
I'll say this. So I started doing
Tough
stand-up.
Tough City's produced great comics.
It did. Will Smith.
Yeah, there you go.
But I started doing stand-up, and then like I've always kind of just been a mimic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did all the open mics, and I did the factory. I waited. I was telling somebody this the other day. I waited at least 10 times in a row, the 8-hour thing. I did that at the store.
For the open mics.
I don't know if you guys remember. Back in the day,
mm-hmm.
Third Street Promenade had an improv, and it was called New Faces. This was in the early 90s, probably before your time.
Yeah.
And that's where you go up at like 1:30. And like the store used to go up. I remember one time at the store, the original room on a Sunday, I went up at like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
That's when it was, I mean, it's still amazing. Now it's amazing.
It's popping up.
Yeah.
But do they do a 3 a.m. on Sunday?
No.
They used to go till like 4, man.
Wow.
And it was off the chain. And you were waiting behind everybody. You know what I mean? Like, you still are now. Now
who
it's hot again.
Who was on, like, that list with you?
I'm trying to... Well, no, I was just beginning.
Okay.
I remember... You know, you'd see, like, Dame in there.
Yeah.
You would see, you know... I'm trying to think who else. Like, just a lot of different comedians at that time. Kinison, I think he was right when I started. He died, unfortunately, like, not too long after that. But he would be there. Anyway, I was doing voices. And then eventually, I auditioned and somebody saw me for SNL. And then I had to audition for SNL. I went to New York, did that whole thing, and I did not get it. So that happened when I was 23. And then when I didn't get it, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So that's when I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, shit.
So now, that was like the dream.
Yeah, when did, and I need to know if this is true, and I'm sorry if a million people have asked you this, but when did you... fake that you were your own agent?
That right at that time that's when it started.
I wanted this to be true so bad.
Yeah, actually a little before that, actually.
Okay,
that was before that,
because somewhere I read that you couldn't get an agent, and you found that you needed an agent to get parts, so you just became your own agent and gave him a character. Now the web said Marty Power,
100% true.
Yes,
what a great agent name.
Yes. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Well, because at the time I was delivering sandwiches. So I don't know if you see those guys with carts.
Yes.
Yeah,
they have those around the buildings, and you go, hey, what do you got today? So I was that guy.
Yeah.
And people would buy, and so I went into this agency, and I would pass an agency every day, and it was called Bauer Benedict. Now, Marty Bauer eventually ran UTA, or he was one of the big guys.
Wow.
There. But he started Bauer Benedict. And I thought, that's a good name. And then I thought, and then this other guy would go, this old insurance guy, and he had a really deep voice. And this guy talked like this. And so I took his voice, and I was selling toner in a boiler room setting.
Oh, you've done it all, my friend.
Yeah, I was doing telemarketing. No, what's the, when you do calls, telemarketing.
Yeah, telemarketing.
So I was doing that from 6 a.m., and you get a buck a number to get people to switch the copier. It's a total scam and all this stuff, right? So you call, you get a lead. So I was doing that, and then I would do stand-up at night. Anyway, I got really good at it. So I was making like $80 a day. That's a lot of
money.
That's good money now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, come on.
I mean, so.
The guys on Hollywood Boulevard pulling maybe $80 a day.
Yeah, right? So it's like I was there, and I made up this character because I was like getting good at selling like white out and toner and, you know, dry erase, whatever.
It's an acting exercise, 100%. Right?
Yeah.
So I thought, what would be a good agent name, and what do agents need? They need power. I came up with the name Marty Power, and I bought a book.
God, I hope that's a porn actor's name now.
Marty Power. Power Drillman. And I started just calling all the agencies. And you know what the easiest ones to get into?
What's that?
CAA. Do you know the hardest ones to get into? The 818s. Do you know why? Because CAA would say, they would never expect someone to do that.
Yeah.
So they thought it was real, and and 818 little agencies goes, who's this? You fucking... bullshit it. This ain't a real person. 100%.
So like, because they're getting, like the
because they're getting maybe prank called all the time.
All the
or
time.
Just dealt with bullshit.
All
but CA
the time.
Is like, we're conditioned to always handle the top and the cream of the crop.
They just assume.
Yeah. And also it's not, they can't assume that it's bullshit, right?
Yeah, 100%. And also I think Marty Bauer, maybe some of them probably thought it was him.
So they thought it was that voice. Now, did you have any success doing that? Like, did you get...
A lot, actually.
No shit. Now, like, when you call another agency as an agent, like as a fake agent, but like, how are you? Are you trying to get them to sign you? Or are you trying to say like, I'm about to die? Here's my staff roster.
You're on it. You're
really
on it. So it was an agent, like manager, old time guy, like Danny Rose. So I tried to do the voice, but he would talk like this, and he would say, you know, I got this client. I'm living in Florida. I'm 77 years old. I got a bad prostate. And I had this whole pitch. And I would call and I go, can you see my last dream for the kid's mom was to get him set up. So eventually I called and I got a lot of I got a meeting with MTV.
No shit.
I had a meeting with NBC.
Now, would you have to, like...
The lady at MTV said, dude, I did the impression of Marty on the phone, and the lady made me do it in the room. Because she goes, that's so good. It sounds so much like him. I love your agent.
Oh, my
God. Dude, you have to understand. The phone... The phone back then was something that you use all the time.
Yes.
And each, like,
just for calls.
Yes, and you, exactly. No dicks. Yeah. And you worked.
No eggplants.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
And so if you got, I learned in the gutter of selling that if you didn't get three rejections, it's on. They're what they call on the hook. So that's how I would sell myself. Once I knew I had them on the hook, and I would just ingratiate them. I knew stuff about them. I did everything.
That's amazing.
Did I mean, that is that's insane, by the way. Now, and
it's the only thing I could have done. I don't know how to do it. And sometimes I think I was my best own agent.
But, you know, I mean,
yeah, right.
Desperate people get very creative very quickly.
Very desperate.
Also, you adapted so quickly to, I think, just the nature of L.A. in this business where it's like, hey, it's fight or flight. You have to create your own good luck. Like, there's no blueprint for anybody unless even fucking some super hot person with Instagram followers from Wisconsin that's like, if I got 50,000 in Wisconsin, that'll triple to in L.A. And even if you're so fun, like, there's no quick happening for it.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, think outside the box. Now, is that just your own innate, like, you know, ways, or did somebody say, yo, fucking, when you get to LA, man, do stuff that people don't.
No.
No, you're
people
just like,
are like, you're like, here, you're in a steam room, hold my dick. I mean, no. No one's helping you. I was telling somebody a story like this the other day that I think I just picked it up quickly. Maybe it's a Philly thing or whatever. I think if you're from the East Coast, you're very much a flight or a fight or flight person. You're like a scared rat.
And
you're you're used to everybody taking your shit. So I came out here young enough where I felt that I was like that, but I also had a positive outlook. I felt like, oh, this is a new world. I was telling somebody, I used to wait at all the clubs. You would wait and do the open, you know, to try to get a spot. There used to be a lottery. I don't know how the improv does it now. You would wait to get a ticket, to get your name called, to get a spot. So you'd have to wait to try to see if you even get a ticket.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how a store still does it,
Nutty nuts, right? Very hard. Anyway, eventually I get on, and it was like, you know, a year of this process. And I'm getting ready to do one of my early sets, and all of a sudden the guy goes, you got bumped. And I'm like, what do you mean you got bumped? He's like, yeah, this guy's doing the time in front of you. I go, why? He goes, because he's got a commercial. What do you got? You got shit. And I go, no, wait a minute. I waited my time. I waited in line. And he goes, he's on TV, goddammit. And he fucking starts. And he go, I go, so is that what it is? Yeah, we want fame. We want stars. It was a different voice, but.
That's still a good one.
And I was like, well, what about jokes? He's like, yeah, they help too. And then,
this guy's on a Payless shoe commercial.
And it was fucking, it was Bruce Fine, who is a comedian.
Wow. Yeah.
Bruce, a good guy.
Short guys got to stick together, so I know Bruce.
And I was like, what the fuck? And Bruce went on, he killed, he had like 20 minutes. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's like, so I did that a couple times, and after a few times, I got bumped a few times. And I'm like, by different people, I'm like, okay, I know this game.
Yeah.
So you just got to fucking go get famous. Because I literally was like being a stand-up, like writing a joke in a coffee shop and go, not that everybody else didn't do that, but I didn't realize that that could expedite the process.
Yes. Yeah,
so absolutely. Then I was lucky. Long story short, the factory, you know, it was very tough to get in, but I got in, and a commercial agent saw me after mad rejections. I finally got a commercial, and it was Vans, and that helped me. And then spots started going like that.
No kidding.
I wasn't any funnier.
Was the
you know what I mean?
But
I
was and
there's other guys that were not as funny. I mean, that were funnier, but they didn't have the commercial.
What was the commercial?
It was for Vans sneakers. It was really early.
And it was big,
Skate sneakers.
Yeah, it was. I was the Vans boy.
Yeah.
And it was 94-ish, I think.
Did you have the blonde hair by then?
Long-ish.
Yeah.
But
classic look.
Yeah, but I had like
your 90s look was crushing it.
It was everybody wanted to be, you know, Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
Silver chair ish.
Yeah.
But that was, and then I was able to do 10 minutes, which I was able to scrape 10 minutes and go around town. But literally, the doors opened up.
Now, why did the SNL audition not happen? Like, what do you, were you just nervous, too green? Like,
I can tell you this, actually. This is fascinating, actually. I think it was 94.
Okay.
And I auditioned with a woman. Her name is Pam Thomas, and she was like a scout.
Mm-hmm.
So I got flown to, I want to say it was Gotham. I don't know if Gotham was around
then. Oh, yeah.
Maybe it was Gotham then, or it was a club that could have been Gotham.
Yeah.
And Lauren was there, and Chris Farley was there.
Wow.
And I think Molly Shannon auditioned with me.
Okay.
I think she did. And I got mad stories about this. I went in, yeah. and I think it was mostly, I want to say mostly women. Mm-hmm. And Janine was already on the show, but right. I think it was rumored that she was leaving. And they just said that the feedback was, he doesn't do enough political impressions.
Political impressions?
Yeah.
So this is, what, 93 you
that
said?
That was 94-ish. That
94,
was, so that's, I think, that's what Lauren might have said. I don't know.
Yeah.
I never got the feedback from him.
Mid-Bush, I think.
But, and so, yeah. mid-Bush. So people, but I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I was doing some jokes. I did some other impressions.
Yeah.
And it was at a comedy club, so yeah. it was more of a stand-up. And the one thing is that the lady said, you know, Lauren Michaels, you know, he loves traveling, celebrities, animals, and children. You know, those are like his interests.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to go up to him and go, hey, Lauren, did you hear about Bruce Willis's daughter's dog?
He took a trip to Tahiti. Yeah, went on a cruise. It was crazy.
Like, you know, he loves his kids. He loves yeah. animals. He loves to travel. And anyway.
How do I connect?
Yeah, that's how I was like trying to connect. yeah. And so anyway, that didn't happen. But Molly Shannon, I don't think, got it that year.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was still with this woman. And I was like, you know, starting to get auditions and stuff. And like a year later, she goes, come to the Groundlings with me. And I'm like, this is the place, you know, that I didn't pay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she goes, there's two guys here that they're looking to look at. And I'm like, okay, so you want me to go watch two comedians that SNL is interested in? She goes, yeah. So I sit in the audience. I watch the show. And I'm like, okay, yep, yep. That one and that one is going to go. Boom. Chris Kattan, Will Ferrell.
Whoa.
There you go.
I was at that show when they got picked.
Oh my.
He did Monkey Boy and Will yeah. did the cheerleader.
No shit.
Among many other things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you just knew, huh?
I just knew. Then I saw Molly and I'm like, bam, she got the other. And I'm like, yo, are they doing callbacks for last year? And they're like, they have too many guys now. And then
yeah, because they just picked up this Will Ferrell and this Chris Kattan guy.
Yeah. Good little tidbit though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy. That's why I said it.
So, now, what did you see in what they were doing that you were like, all right, maybe there's something there? Also, they were sketch and you were stand-up, right?
So yeah. That's, I think probably I was probably still a little green. Like, yeah. you would have to take me on and see that this guy. I know I have, maybe I wasn't as polished as I could have been. But they could, I think they could have saw that I could have had the potential.
Yeah.
But I was young. I was like 23.
Yeah.
But right. just not that young. Because there's young guys on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe they just thought I was, you know, more work. I don't know. Maybe I didn't look right. I have no idea.
For whatever
you know
reason.
How it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's
The bastion of the, you know, it's the greatest of comedy. So what can I say?
And the, even getting plucked to audition for it is like.
I was great.
Right.
I was very fortunate.
And the craziest thing about this industry is that, like, a lot of actors, comedians, we always like internalize everything like, oh, it was something I did, I could have done something different.
Yeah.
But then sometimes you gotta realize sometimes it's because, hey, they already have too many women, or they need a black guy, or they just had a bad day that day and they're not feeling it. Like, that's all these different factors can always weigh into why you get something, why you don't get something. And while sometimes it's about you, it's not always about you. There's all these.
You sound like
variables.
Marty Power.
Let me tell you, sometimes it's not always about you.
Thank you, Dr. Phil.
There's other things that are going.
You're
going
to be okay, kid. Yeah. You're going to be all right. He's on TV. Fuck you.
Did you work shitty jobs while you're at it or no?
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything. I haven't had a regular job, though, since I've been 23, which is pretty good.
It's amazing.
Not bad.
What were the jobs prior?
Dude, everything. I worked at Red Lobster. I was a host.
Yes. What was your go-to line? And would it differ between like hot girls and like businessmen? Were you like, fellas?
We've got biscuits.
What was my go-to line for what?
I don't know. Being a Red Lobster host.
Well, I had really bad.
Did they give you a greeter script?
Well, I was.
Go to Shellfish. I don't know.
I was the host and I had terrible skin, right? And I had a lot of zits. And this is going to sound terrible, but probably I'm going to get backlash for this. But the bartender behind the bar was Henry Lee. And he goes, and I wanted to be an actor. He goes, hey, I can help you with your acting. And I'm like, why? He goes, I can help you with your acting.
Acting?
Yeah, I said acting.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm like, what, can you get me like a coach or an agent? He goes, yeah, act like an agent. I said, what do you mean act like an agent? He goes, yeah, it's a chemical agent. It's a lemon. You put it on your face. I'm not kidding. It's a chemical agent. And I'm like, acne? Go, yeah, you're acne. You got pimple face. That's really true. People are going to probably say it, but that was really how he talked.
Dude, that's a true story, and it makes the story better when you
took
do
that. Forever.
The
I even got you right there, but it was real.
Yeah,
exactly.
And Bud Bundy's sister used to work there, and she's stinking hot. David Faustino's sister.
Yeah.
And that's when I saw Arsenio all the time. He would come in. Where are you going?
In the same Burbank Red Lobster or something?
No, he would come in all the time and eat. No, I like it. It's good.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
And when does is Scream the big break? Is Scream the thing that made it?
I saw something with I was using all these quotes recently with Bono, and he says it's not one break, it's many. I mean, some people do have one break. Yeah. I had multiple little breaks.
Well, because, I mean, you had Three Kings right after that, right? Or right before that?
My first kind of break was that Vans commercial.
Yep. Yeah. Now, you're still working at Lobster when you get that commercial?
No. I was working on Pizza Hut.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to know.
I got to tell this.
We're moving on to Scream, obviously, in the other ship, but I just want to know those jobs. Like, when you're working there, because that's a cool thing. Like, when do you transition out of that? And when you're out there, and then you walk in with a little more swagger, like, you see me on that Vans commercial? Get your own fucking biscuits.
Well, you know how people say, like, oh, I kept my day job.
Yeah.
And no. As soon as I got one thing, I fucking quit. I'm not going. I was on a set.
Yeah.
But here's what I want to say. As I did, this is crazy. And this is, stand-up has helped me so much. I did Factory.
Mm-hmm.
I got a commercial agent out of there, and I got a test commercial for Vans. That's how it happened. And they picked five comedians to do like a test tape for a new Vans. They did the tape. They showed it to the guy. The guy who owns Vans is a Southern California dude. He's like a surfer. And they go, what about that guy? Like, they were going to hire real actors. And he goes, well, he's just an unknown guy. And he goes, yeah, bring him in. Why can't he do it? Boom. And I met the guy. And that's how I got hired.
Whoa.
Now, that was an incredible stroke of luck.
Yeah.
So I made $6,000, which is really great. So my whole tax return from the year before was $9,300. All right, the year before that was like another night. So it was pizza, it was Red Lobster, I was a massage helper's assistant.
What?
I dug ditches, like all the stuff.
All the jobs.
But
dug ditches for what?
For the city, like you help potholes and like they did summer like jump in work. It wasn't like a contract.
What's the small talk like with those guys when you're doing that,
dude? You guys barely lasted. It's literally
at some point you're like, I'm gonna get in one of these fucking holes and bury myself.
Yes, but the thing is, there's no phones or anything back then. It's just the guys taking a cigarette break, and like smoking.
And guess what? The small talk not any better, right?
Yeah,
you're probably dying for a phone at that point.
Yeah, you're like, when's lunch? That's the small talk. But I want to tell you this. I don't know who listens, if it's like actors too. Or
actors, people. Comedians, a lot of normal people.
I went from making $9,300 at my Pizza Hut job, and then to, I got that commercial, and then I got a Blockbuster commercial.
Oh, my God.
And Jim Gaffigan was in it too.
Nice.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I went from that, and then that year, I made $98,000. So I literally went from 9,300 to 10 times in my, and I was 23, and I was like, that's our business. Now, I had shit for like 4 years, but that's not a hard struggle.
No.
It is hard when you're in it, but it wasn't a long struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, look at it. It goes up, it goes down.
Yeah, sure.
But I knew I was on. So anyone listening, it is our business, but I mean, there's a lot of things in there I can't tell you in 1 hour. It'd take 9 hours. But,
you'll have to just come back. The Blockbuster commercial, let's be honest. That Blockbuster was not only the king of video, but dude, I mean, as far as companies go and franchises and like for what it was doing for people, like, unreal. And their commercials, I remember all of them. They were so epic.
Bro, these commercials were for Europe. It was
Europe?
Yeah, no, so it was me, Jim Gaffigan, this other girl, this black chick and this white chick, and I forget their names, I apologize. And we were the entertainment team. And so, you know, like, Jim was, you know, his, like, you know, his more sardonic guy, and I was, like, the goofy white guy, and the other girl was this and that. And we would go around and, like, go to different stores and, like, never know where the entertainment team is going to show up with new Blockbuster specials. And that was our thing. But we shot it in Venice. We shot it here. And then it aired in Europe. And then we went to Europe to promote it. It was awesome.
To promote a commercial?
Like, they brought us out to, like, their shareholders meeting. And now
because you're the team.
Yeah, because it's like, and now we have a new marketing
commercial characters.
So that was pretty... epic.
To get like a
first time in Europe?
That was my first time.
Yeah, for making $9,000 a year to now that. You get a free trip to Europe.
Flown in.
Now, at some point, are you at some sort of like mixer for the whole thing? And somebody, the head of Blockbuster's like, I'm telling you, kid, I know SNL didn't work out, but you got a future as the Blockbuster guy.
Dude, it's so bad. I went right to like Wayne Huizenga, but I don't think he was there. You know who that was?
Yeah. Wait, that was the owner of the Dolphins.
Dude, that was, he bought the Dolphins with the Blockbuster money.
Yeah.
Like, that dude went from Waste Management to Blockbuster to the Dolphins, like boom. And it was all of that.
Yeah.
And then it was the first time I ever went to France. I took the train and I was like, it was awesome. But what's crazy is that I just read something that Netflix offered to sell themselves to Blockbuster for $50 million back in the day. And
really?
Blockbuster goes, nah, we're good.
Oh my God.
Is that not crazy?
The craziest part is that there's still a handful of Blockbusters that are still open.
I know, dude.
They're around the country, dude. And when you see them, you have to stop and be like, it's like hopping into a time capsule.
There's always like only maybe four people in them, though. Right?
The one right here was the go-to.
Where was it?
Right here on Sunset.
Yeah,
right by right where the chicken place.
Well, because
it's now the bank. It's right next to it. The bank that was
that Chase was a
huge Blockbuster.
That's a great spot.
I do not know that.
And that's massive. On Sunset. So like
you were the neighborhood man.
Back in the day, like celebrities had to rent tapes too. You know what I mean?
Shit,
so
dude.
Like
they, I would go in and like pick up one. I'm in. I'm like any. Discount.
I'm in the movie.
I'm like, see celebrities in a Blockbuster
all day. Or you see somebody go, yeah, you see where your shit went. Like sometimes you're like, oh, the shit went right here. But you would get the whole fucking wall. I had a movie and it was like, oh, it's fucking, you're pissed. You're pissed that it's not in the theater, but it's on a whole wall. There's like 200 tapes in a Blockbuster.
Yo,
I would take that today. That's a good get.
Yeah.
So when you walked,
a billboard.
When you walked in, when you walked in and saw the screen, like, you know, when a video was gone, it was just the paper of the case, like against the thing, and the video wasn't like. I'm sure you went at times, probably for many times, when all the Scream ones were just gone. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was.
That's almost like a credit. You can go up to like this guy just went to Blockbuster. All the tapes were gone. Give it up for Jamie Gunn. Everyone's writing Scream. You know.
That's a good opener. Right?
His stuff is not available in stores. It's gone.
Hey, that's funny.
I like it, man. And then like, so you have that year, and then. Is you just like, okay,
well,
now
no, that,
I got the
that commercial or? Started getting mm-hmm. stuff, and it's literally work begets work. So then I used the tape. Marty was in full effect, and I got a real agent. I got with APA.
Great.
And mm-hmm. then they signed me across the board, and they were great. And I started getting auditions. So Ron Levitt, God rest his soul, did a show called, it was Bobcat was on it, and he was like the rabbit. It was a talking rabbit and a family.
Yeah. Oh,
and it's Kevin Conley.
Happily Ever After.
Yeah. Yep.
Unhappily Ever After. Yeah.
And Nikki Cox. It was a married, you know, ripoff kind of. So I did a couple episodes of that, and then that led to a couple of Peter Engels, which was just California Dreams, which was
deep.
I never got the big show. I never got Married with Children. I always got the second one, Unhappy. I never got Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell.
I got
California
Dreams. You know what I mean?
I'll
take it.
As a product of somebody who loved those shows, California Dreams was just as good as Saved by the
you
Bell.
You got all right.
And
Preach.
And that band, the California Dreaming band, was better than Zach Attack. Yeah. I'll say it. I'll flat out say it.
You know what's scary?
And I will fight anyone that disagrees with me.
Right. Wait, how old are you?
I'm 33.
See, it's so nuts because you grew up on Zach Attack. I was like just auditioning. I'm like, what the fuck is Zach Attack? I would never, because I was trying to do it. But wait, are you 33 too?
34, yeah.
Funny. But yes, I do know all that.
Oh,
now.
So you were looking at Saved by the Bell being like, I don't get this. These guys are.
I was just trying to act. And that was geared toward, you know, younger kids. I'm like 13 years old, right?
Yeah.
You guys, 14. But anyway, so I do that.
Still a Pizza Hut, by the way?
No.
Fuck
off. I'm holding up Vans.
Real quick, how was the Pizza Hut fuck you? Like, what was the exit like?
Dude.
And how was Pizza Hut in general?
Wait, I could tell you so many stories.
Yeah, man.
Fire away.
I'm scared.
What can you tell?
Why?
Well, it's just some of them are so politically incorrect.
Well, dude, this podcast is
I love
game
it because
on.
Everybody's such a crybaby now, but it's like,
I know, right?
It's just so stupid. But I'm just going to do what I do anyway. So.
I love you.
So I'm working at Pizza Hut. I've worked at Domino's. I think I had like 30 jobs, but they're all, some of them are very quick, but I did a few of these. I would never work at McDonald's. That is the lowest because that is just terrible. But these other jobs.
Pizza Hut, yeah.
Well, Pizza Hut because you're your own boss and you're a con man and you're a charming man. right? That's how we sell ourselves. And so you know you can get a tip out of somebody. So sometimes I would make $100. That's a lot of fucking money, right?
Yeah.
So
because you were delivering.
I was delivering.
Okay.
So I went in and it was like a mirror. This was this dude and he was like Hungarian or I don't know who he was. And he, I went in and it was like, I'm trying to remember this whole story, but yeah. It was like at near, it was post riots.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the LA at that time
on
was
edge.
Literally like you saw the black dude the day before the riots. It's like, yo, what's up, dog? Hey, feeling? You know, after the riots, you just kind of eyeballed each other. It's like, yo, what's up? I mean, unless he was your friend,
yeah, right.
It was like, what's up?
It's
you
like,
know what I mean?
Is it about to happen?
Yeah, like because it was beyond on edge. You know, it's a whole other.
Yeah, watch the OJ documentary. You'll get an idea of what it was like.
Yeah, it was. And I lived in Koreatown at the time. It was so cheap.
Yeah.
And so I'm working at Pizza Hut in the Valley. And the North Hollywood one, and it's still there. And I had a delivery, and at that time, there was some fucking like footage again of like Rodney King or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the dudes had my pizza, and they looked at the pizza. Now, you know, I mean, you tell me when it's going to get uncomfortable, but let's just say that black people sometimes like to inspect that pizza when
Norm?
They get it.
Norm?
They... Norm,
yeah.
Do you like to know what you got? Make sure you got it. Norm, are you black? I thought you were Hawaiian. I wasn't sure. You look like The Rock. But so am I wrong, Norm? And I grew up in Philly, so I know what's up, right? Like you like to know. If you ordered sausage, you want to make sure it's on there, right? So these dudes were inspecting the pizza, which just happens with every race, but this just happened to be black. And there was some fucking footage of Rodney King, and they were watching that shit. And it was like a rehash, and they're like, oh, and they're like, yo, fuck that motherfucker, man. And they're like, oh, not Rodney. They're like, yo, fuck this, man. I can't believe it, motherfucker. Like, it was some kind of thing that got off.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it like the Rodney King wasn't, Rodney wasn't guilty, or the cops.
The cops got off.
The cops got off.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the replay, and it was like, yo, fuck this, man. Yo, fuck. And it was just a lot of fuck. Yo, man, is this the right salt? Yo, fuck. Ooh. Yo, fuck, man. Is that pepper? Ooh. Like five of those. And I'm like, you know what, guys? Are you not happy? And they're like, yeah, man. Fuck this pizza. I'm like, hey, you know what? Just customer policy. You take it. You know what I mean? Gave them the two. And it was like deep in the valley. And I'm like, here you go. Like, you just take them. Like, yeah, fuck. And they were just cursing, going, fuck it. And that was just, I was like, we can afford those two pizzas.
Yeah,
not
sure.
Not saying they took it. Okay,
no.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It wasn't taken.
You read the room.
I read the room.
Right.
Exactly. And
you're like,
you know,
I'm not dying for two pizzas.
I mean, you know what? Customer policy.
Yeah.
I go back and Amir goes, where's the money? And I said, dude, we got to do a fucking, we got to do a promo code on this one.
Yeah.
And he goes, what do you mean? They don't pay? And I said, no, they didn't fucking pay. I mean, they could have paid, but the shit was a lot. They were fucking uncomfortable. Do you know what the fuck is going on right now? Do you see the fucking fire across the street? No, fuck them, motherfuckers. They ordered. And he went off.
Oh, no.
So I don't know why I told that story, but that was basically.
That's a great pizza.
That was, he took it out of my fucking check. And I was like, Amir, it's worth the 18 or 20 in case.
Dude, you have to. Customer's always right. And like, I feel like that situation, there's probably. I mean, daily for every.
Hey,
but I will say,
I would have done the same thing if, like, a modern day, like some Ferguson stuff's going on, and then I walk in, like, hey guys, no. Yeah. Here's your pizza.
Yeah,
this is the best thing I could do. Closest thing to reparations.
Yeah.
There you go. Done.
Jesus.
I would have did if a bunch of girls were like, fuck this guy here. But like literally, I will say defend him though. It was the North Hollywood Pizza Hut. A lot of people are scams around there. I got it. There's a lot of crackheads around him. So he's constantly getting fucked. But I bounced.
Yeah.
But he was actually a nice dude. He just was always high strung. Middle Eastern.
Would you make jokes when you were, you said you were like charming, trying to get tips and stuff with that? Would you try to like work out material or just innately try to just chum it up?
Always trying to look cute.
Because it's so quick. Some people just like want to get their pizza and be like, hey man, I'm closing the door as you're handing me the pizza. Like, just fuck off.
Like, if it was like a Friday night and it was like, you know, a bang out, and I knew the girl was there and the dude was there, and it was like I could see a bang out was happening. I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
A little pre or post, and then, you know, like a little, maybe peel off a couple extra ones. Pre or post, right? You know what I'm saying? A little carbo there.
Yeah.
You know? Or somebody was stoned. I don't really even smoke that much. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. This is great. You know, like, just try to be their friend. Whatever.
Dude.
I would
goes a long way.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have is my wits. It's like, that's all we have. Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, and that's, so it's, whether it's comedy, it's all fucking con. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Acting. This is what Jay-Z says. Rap is just another con. You know what I mean? And I think it's, that's so.
Well, and
I was getting,
like you
good
said,
at
you
it.
knew how to sell yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
From you being on the phone for 22 hours a day trying to sell people long distance cards or whatever the hell. Like
it is crazy that yeah. you use everything too. Like all those like moments with those people chumming it up. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying like that's what led to like Scream like directly, but like I don't know, man, like just getting comfortable shooting
totally.
Like this podcast, like I say this all the time, like just makes me more comfortable in social situations now. Like if I'm at a buddy's wedding and I'm around a bunch of people that I don't know and the conversation is just the worst, I feel comfortable enough to navigate either to like go, all right, I need to be the funny one in the circle because everybody sucks, or I know how to get out of here, you know, on a line that's not going to seem super Irish goodbye-y.
How often do you feel uncomfortable around people? Be honest.
Now, like...
What? Just, yeah. like, would you rather see people or rather avoid? That's my question.
Avoid.
Me too!
Yeah, me too.
Me
yeah.
too! Hold on. So, is that...
I'll tell you, well...
Is that us, a comic thing, famous thing, and does... Or is
for
it
you guys,
an insular
probably,
thing? No, like, yeah. I, like, see people... It's weird.
Well, people will pick Brett up, and that's probably why he's always like,
yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a different, that's a different thing.
That's a real
thing. That's a different thing, because I've hung out with Vern Troyer, and he's much smaller than you, but I know that he actually is
that's
very...
That's a real thing.
No, it's actually fucking scary. It's PTSD. It's like, dude, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
So you're out of control.
I've broken two people's noses because I felt they came from behind me, and they like just went up and like grabbed the bottom of my arms and just started lifting. I went, fuck this, and just threw my head back,
bro.
And then cracked somebody in the nose.
Bro, now let me ask
happened
you this.
Twice.
Oh my
now
God.
That is no that amazing. To me is not that is not surprising.
Yeah.
Only because of Vern and different people I've met.
Yeah, sure.
My friend Deep Roy, who is
Deep,
my buddy
Charlie and Chocolate Factory. Yeah, yeah.
But literally, and then you know, tell me when I'm annoying you. But
no,
like
never.
they think Deep's a fucking trinket. You know, and it's like. What? And it's so bizarre. It's only if you like hung out with big people. I'm not like Shaq has ever picked me up. I don't hang out with him that much.
Yeah.
But I could see if he picked me up how that would be fucking
well,
fucked up.
Well, because now you're not in control of your body anymore. Someone else is.
And I this is totally different for me and for you too. But like after a show, some of the violation I get from drunk motherfucking people, it's so terrible that... I can probably feels a little bit like what you do. You have it much worse, but I have my own shit with, you know, fame and all that.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
So you have a comedian and you're dwarf. So you have a couple, you have a double or triple in there.
That and I would love for people to see.
They probably thought you were out of line to do that. They probably did. People think I'm out of line when I have my fucking boundaries.
Yeah, well, because like sometimes
it's crazy.
Sometimes like a 47-year-old divorcee will grab like
we'll start grabbing
the package and stuff. Like no, you don't get to do that.
Yes, it's white.
Yeah.
I would say white older women are the most annoying audience members.
Yeah,
they're the most entitled.
I've had I took a picture with someone 2 weeks ago, and this woman like, hey, do you want to get a picture? Yeah, absolutely, I will take a picture with you. And we lean and take the picture. Right before we take the picture, she licks the side of my face, and I was just like, bitch, what? Like, you don't get to do that. Like, you like I just got old lady HPV, and now that's what I got.
She's
on
like, you work at the factory, you must taste like what the walls taste
like. No, I don't taste like snozzberries, bitch. Bitch, like stop fucking licking me.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Here's the one time I get uncomfortable, and it happened 2 nights ago, so it's a great question that you asked.
Okay.
Because I feel...
And I want to comment on it after you say it.
Yeah, I'm still, you know, on the up and up, and so, you know, I've been headlining now, what, 4 years? And so I still very am, I don't know, just I... Look, there have been instances where I get annoyed with the people overstepping boundaries, but I'm up for dealing with it because I'm like, it's usually them out of like being over flattering and over drunk and over, you know, boisterous. So I know how to like, but sometimes I have to just go, all right, man, fucking you're fucked up. Get out of here. You know, but I do it in a nice way. But a few nights ago, this guy, I hadn't seen him in a long time, and he was running the show I was doing in Venice. And he goes, what's up, man? What's up? And I go, hey, dude. And then he patted me on the shoulder and I go, hey, cool. And he goes, so how you been? Another shoulder pat. And then I go, great, man. He goes, you've been fucking, dude, you've been working a lot. Pat, another
three pats.
Three shoulder pats in 15 seconds. And then the next one.
I was not listening.
I mean,
hope he is.
I hope he is, man, because this is an epidemic. Dudes overstepping physical boundaries with shoulder pats and shoulder rubs that turn into like, and then he did a shoulder rub, back shoulder tap combo. I'm like, dude, is this? Am I on Fear Factor? Like, how uncomfortable can you get? Dude, I can handle snakes and roaches at this point because he was just. And look, it was. There's nothing homophobic about it.
Yeah, it's just personal space.
Personal space, and it's also. Yeah. We don't know each other enough. Even my dude. Even if my dad was just like 4 shoulder pads in 12 seconds, I'd be like, Dad, fucking hug me or kiss me at this point, you know?
Yes.
And so that made me uncomfortable, and I didn't. I literally, it was the first time in a long time. So again, it's crazy you're asking, where I literally got jammed up as far as like knowing how to get out of it. And I go, the only move here is just to walk away. So literally when I didn't answer any of his questions, and he was like, you good? You've been doing this? And shoulder pads. And I go, yeah, man, everything's gravy. And then I just walked away.
Have to.
And yeah. I was like,
you want gravy on him.
I want gravy.
Yeah. Put gravy on him. You gravied them up. Lathered them up in gravy.
And, and by the way, everything's gravy is not in my repertoire of
no,
sayings.
No, I know.
So it was.
You don't have that
you
chamber.
Did that to me, man.
Yeah.
You're going to touch me that
you
much.
You gravied yourself. You are your own fucking ladle. Okay, pal?
Social gravy.
Yes.
Too much.
Yeah. You know what? That's going to be the new ice bucket challenge, is that people gravy. Are going to get gravied.
My thing is that I can't stand fucking fakeness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's a deep rooted thing. So literally when I see shit, it's most of the world is fake or they're not being who they are. So it's just like, yeah. I get so, but recently, I don't know, in the last year or two, I've just been able to like, I still feel it, but I can still bullshit and everyone thinks I'm having a good time.
Wow.
But I used to just be like, oh, I wouldn't go out. Like, this is one of the reasons I'm starting to do the stand-up in town.
Yeah.
Like I started the last couple of months is because...
It's great the year-round, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. People are pumped to see you in like, the store and haha and like, yeah, dude.
Well, I appreciate it because, yeah. You know, and Bobby Lee, you know, told me this. He's like, dude, you gotta go up in front of your peers. Because if you're doing a road, like I was telling Brad, we were saying outside, it's like, I would see him either before or after or Rob
weekend,
Schneider's
yeah.
name, before
yeah.
after
yeah, yeah,
Whitney
yeah.
Cummings, D'Elia. And then it was really when I saw D'Elia on the road, his name all the time, and then he's at the store all the time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, and then I would see Bobby, and then he'd be here all the time. And Bobby was like, look, dude, you got to be in front of your peers because A, they got to know you're alive, and B, it's just like, it's just good.
Yeah.
And it's true. It's like, I just did Schaumburg. I loved it. Had a great time. But, you know, certain bits I do in Schaumburg might not work at the Improv.
Sure.
And I might have to step my game up. And it's like, you see Craig Robinson, you see you see Dane, you see everybody. And it's just like, it's good. And some of it's like a little trial by fire, but I love it now because it's also because comedy's never been hotter. I mean, besides the 80s, you got Hart was at the store the other night. I did a show last week with Sarah Mello, and Dave did it, what? That night.
Chappelle.
Yeah, he did the hour and a half.
Yeah.
I go, where's Adam? They go, he's long gone. Yeah. Adam had, by the way.
I had a 6 a.m. flight. Dude, Dave is my favorite comic, dude, and I've seen him a billion times.
I know. But
guess what? I'll watch him a billion more.
But you,
and I watched an hour, and my buddy is his.
No, I was waiting. I'm like, was Adam going to follow? Was Dave? And she's like, no, he's going to catch a plane.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Also, catch a plane, but also, I another reading the room moment where I'm sitting there, and my buddy who is his Live Nation like road guy, and he goes, hey man, he's just gonna go up and just do a little bit. I go, dude. He goes, is that cool? I go, you don't have to check with me, man. I want to watch him. I'd rather him go first. I go, but I'm gonna like definitely check in and see if it's going too long. And so then after an hour, I'm like, all right, if he gets off, and I'm standing there, and I'm like, you know, and again like needing to get up early, and I'm like, all right, do I just stay up at this point? And then I'm like, do I follow an hour? If he gets off in the next 5 minutes,
Dave Chappelle.
Do I follow? Because he's talked about everything. The room is done. And I go, dude, it's...
And there was a lot of comments.
Check your ego at some point and go... But I'm in there and I'm going like, because I, you know, and I've had to follow a lot. I've been in those situations where it's like, you know, in Dane's heyday where he's done 45 on a joke and you have to go up after, or Louis pops in, whoever. And so I'm like, stand there being like, dude, make yourself go up anyway. Fucking, this is good for you.
Yeah.
And then after an hour, and they did 30 more minutes and I stayed for all 90. And then I'm like, all right, now you're definitely not going up.
Wait, though, I left at 1:15 and I thought he did another 45. And that was only because I just had to go.
Yeah. So
he was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but so then I bounced. So you watched it and then left. Okay.
Well, no, I left probably about 30 before he got.
No, yeah, because I think
so. Maybe it was an hour and change that I had seen.
Yeah, I just kind of fact checked you. I'm sorry about that.
Fake I wasn't
news.
Even there.
Fake news. Yeah,
but you know what? That's so true when you say you have to go up in front of your peers, because then
you have
to. We like, you have to let other people know what you're doing,
yeah,
what you're up to, because who knows? Someone may get a show. Someone may have an opportunity for a
100%.
Part. And then, like, if you're not in their minds as a person who's constantly doing stand-up, yeah, and around and good.
Let me comment on that.
Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind is a real thing.
Dude, I got to comment on both of that. Yeah. I totally agree, because it's funny. And I think this is why I'm more comfortable now in the last 2 years. I'm not saying I was never not comfortable. I could always make people think that, but inside I wasn't. I'm actually comfortable where it's because it's your outlook. I think I had an outlook, like, if I wasn't, like, being hired for something, I'd be like, what the fuck? What, whose fucking balls do I have to lick? Like, yo, I did this, this, and this. But, you know, A, they're not thinking of you unless you're in your face. There's so many people. B, if you are not having something that's hot right now, they're not thinking of you.
It's a big part of it.
And the other thing is, but then when you start going in the room, or they don't go in the room and they just go, yeah, Jamie's not right. And you're like, what the fuck? So it's, you're totally right, because it's just, what are you doing lately? And where are you? Yeah. And I totally agree with that. And now that my outlook is like, hey, man, something happened when I, like, hit 45. And I'm just like, I'm just happy to be here. And it took a while. And now my ego got really checked. Not like I was an asshole, but I was definitely thought I was entitled to some things.
Well,
so I learned that.
And especially coming out in LA, because when you travel, I mean, and not to say that the comics on the road aren't good, because they are, but when you're, when you have the feature that is the local from Columbus, Ohio, that's different than when Dane goes up before you, to when D'Elia goes up before you, when all these guys and girls go up before you that are, I mean, because out New York, L.A., they're legends. They're the top of our business. So that's sort of your measuring stick, where you go, okay, Joe Coy just crushed it. I'm going to go on after him, and then I want to crush.
Yeah.
Like, it's that sort of competitive mentality.
That's what it is, and it is. That's why you have to be really prepared, because it's literally eight people in front of you crushing 20 minutes a piece. So it's good, but it's like, it's the best of the best.
You've known Bobby for a long time, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
And you put him in Malibu's Most Wanted, yeah?
No, he was in Kicking It.
Kicking It, that's right.
Yes.
Kicking It Old School.
That's love Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
The best.
He just got a show for ABC.
Break.
Yeah, you did text him, dude.
Is this breaking news?
Yeah, you guys didn't know.
Wait,
that?
No, show got picked up?
Yeah, dude, he's on it.
What show?
I don't know the name of it, he's on. And Dustin Yobara just got a show.
Dustin Yobara from Dallas.
Yeah.
He goes from show to show.
Yeah, so he's doing so. But Bobby's a great guy.
He's the first guy that took me on the road with him. And just to talk about meeting people, like, it was at the store, and I started just being around there more. And we started to become friendly, and then he was just like, you know, come on the road this week and try it out. And then it was 2 years. And it was like, that allowed me to quit. I was working at Universal Studios as a tour guide and then as Wolverine. And I was like, oh, now I can quit, because I'm fucking making just enough to, like, scrape by. You know, it was like.
What? You were Wolverine?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's a whole other.
That's a whole other. Yeah. I'll come on your podcast and we'll just talk about that at a fucking Quiznos one night.
Yeah.
You know, the first time I actually even had contact with you, I don't know if you remember this. Right. It was when Two Girls, One Cup was a thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's how a lot of relationships start, is when Two Girls, One Cup.
Some of the best friendships start.
I feel like that
end because of that video.
I feel like that wasn't that long ago.
That's, I mean,
it was 2000. That's how I want to say 7 or 8.
Okay. Yeah. Two Girls, One Cup is how
MySpace era.
Yes. Yeah. What happened?
You sent me a message, and, you know.
Did you do a funny video? And
I did a Kermit the Frog.
Wow, that shit was so fucking funny. That was you.
Yeah, dude. Remember, because people were doing reaction videos, and I was like, I got to get on this, but I can't just do another person.
Dude.
And I had this Kermit puppet, because I'm a big Muppet fan, and I took it, and I had, and then I did end up doing two of them. I did, like, Kermit showing Ralph the dog watching it, and you sent me a message, and Perez Hilton featured it, which was starting to be big, and that's what took it from, literally, I remember refreshing it. It was like, you know, because I would just send my videos to my friends at that point. I was just starting to do it, and I was like, I need to start getting good at sending them to my buddies and being like, look what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And some of them would be like, this is cool, and then a lot of them were like, all right, man, you know?
Great.
And then Perez Hilton featured it, and it went from, like, 2,000 to, like, 6 mil in, like, 3 days. And then you sent me a message on MySpace, and I was like, what the fuck? I took a screenshot of it, dude. I was like, and it was like, dude, I think it was like, bro, funniest shit I've seen in a long time. There's a show in this. And then I messaged you back, and, dude, that was the first, like, any sort of, you know.
Superstar interaction. A-list,
let's call
it another fucking gold-plated.
Dude, I was like coming down from the heavens and touching my shoulder and saying, you are the chosen one.
I call my mom. I go, dude,
Marty?
I go, the Vans guy just hit me up on MySpace.
bro, wait.
But so I was like freaking out, and I remember I messaged you back, and then didn't hear, and then I messaged back again, being like, "Let's talk about that show." And then I remember I saw you at the Irvine Improv, and I was just like, had enough wherewithal to like not bring it up, but I was just like, "What up, man?" And I said, "You messaged me about the fucking Two Girls One Cup video." As you're walking out saying hi to fans, by the way, there's probably hot chicks around, and I think you were like, "All right, man," but you were cool about it. You were like, "Oh yeah, it was a funny video," and then like whatever.
Did
then,
the show? Did we never sell that? Wait, can I tell you
it nine times? But we just showed the real video in the room and walked out.
Wait, please say that I helped make it go viral. Or did I hit you after Perez?
After it blew up, yeah.
Oh fuck, I'm a follower. But wait, no.
Hey, but dude, you've
no, you know what? Maybe you did send me it before that, dude.
I loved that video. I remember it now, and I remember because that's a long story. But MySpace was kidding its heyday. It's still by far my favorite social network because that was literally when you could instant message a girl and they'd be like down the street and be like all right, like it would be like that.
Yeah,
you know, Facebook is
have you heard of Tinder?
No, but it's different.
It's different.
Hey. This is like a combined space of people that like you,
right? Yeah. And then you have
Tinder. Don't believe it's me. They go, oh my god, why do you have this loser's picture? I've had that.
No way.
I've had that.
What do you have to do?
Do you even respond?
You go,
it's me. And they're like, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
Why would you have him? He's stupid. Like, people. Like,
why would you be you?
No, they didn't believe. But wait, that fucking shit was so funny. I remember because I was pitching weird shit at the time. That could have been a show.
I don't know,
like,
what. I guess maybe puppets watching videos or what.
Yeah, it was something. There was a woman Frank at Jankers. Warner Brothers, Robin Bechtel, who's not there anymore, who got me into all that because she was the digital arm of Warner Brothers, and that's why Warner Brothers was still making money because they had a good digital arm, and she put me on MySpace and all that shit.
Well, wow. and then you had your video rolling with Saget
that
reignited Saget and kind of reintroduced him to this whole new audience.
Well, that's funny because I love that you said that because I wondered if it did hit the way I thought it did.
Hell yeah, it did.
Saget was doing dirty stand up.
Yes,
but I didn't know that. I wasn't familiar with it.
You weren't.
No, so I was familiar with this character in Half Baked, and that's what like, oh okay, Bob Saget saying he does, you know, sucks cock for crack or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
But then it was a one time thing. Yeah, but it wasn't until your Rolling with Saget video where I started like looking at Bob Saget like, oh, this dirty motherfucker.
Yeah, he's one of us.
I love the fact that you said that because I think I forget that because I knew Bob and he's always been nice to me. He used to let me open for him. He's a great dude. And we wrote this song. We're doing these comedy raps, and we wrote a song from the heart. And it's literally like how it is when you roll with Bob. Like, I remember when I was in the Belmont, it was 4 o'clock. He literally knocked on the door, and they're like, "We're closed." And he goes, "Hey, man, it's Saget." Bob! I mean, opened up, fucking drinks, fucking burgers. It was literally, it. So like, that was true. But then I do remember, and then he did Entourage.
Then he did Entourage.
And then that was like, I've always known him as Dirty, but it's funny because people didn't, they thought he was Danny Tanner.
Yeah, and this was like right as I started stand-up and stuff, so this wasn't, I didn't know him as that guy. So I don't think he gets that part in Entourage without Rolling with Saget, kind of introducing him and having
and
the possibility
took it up
of being that guy.
You know?
Yeah.
You know what I did? Put him on TV! He's on TV, goddammit!
He can go up right now.
Fuck! He's got a chicken commercial! He's got a Rally's regional!
I mean, between that...
People get that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean... that and then anyone who's a fan of comedy, thinking about comedy, has ever laughed at a fucking joke, needs to watch Heckler. Needs to watch your documentary,
yeah,
Heckler.
Dude.
Thank you.
Because it's amazing. It's comics, not just talking about their Heckler stories, but dissecting the mind of a Heckler, which I really appreciated because
you
really dove into what pieces of shit these people are.
It's crazy that it hadn't been touched on prior, and you did such a great job of like showing clips of people dealing with it, but getting the comedic, like Brad just said, like perspective of how, and even, you know, even trying to hear Damon Masada, like, you know, maneuver through telling you, like, your brother, you hear this? He says this, your mama's so fat. You know, I love that soundbite. You know, he goes, comedian, say something funny back. Like, your mama is too fat to live here. You fuck bitch, you know? And you're like, say something like that, you know? Yeah. But it was really.
Dude, that's such a good impression.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you do that often?
No,
do
it. Man, no, he says so much.
Do it, and then he says, "Your mama's so fat," yeah. and then you fuck her on the couch. It made no sense.
It's weird. It made no sense yet perfect sense. Audience kind of got it.
Audience members say, "You suck." How long you go back to your job? Comedians say something funny back like, "You fuck face." I fart in your chips and put airplane in your dog's butt. And you're like,
it's so true. It's such a tangent. Yeah. It's so true.
But he commits, but he says it and he goes, brain goes, it makes sense to me.
Yeah. I know. You know what? I love that you love heckler. And I think that a lot of comedians have, you know, come up to me and they love it. And I appreciate that. And DJs and other actors. And it's funny because it starts as heckling and then it goes into reviews and stuff. And it was being made at the time where that was literally the beginning of the blog.
Yeah.
And all this shit. And people are like, you know, the fucking dorks, man, online that are like, it's a pussy wine fest. No, what it is I'm showing the parallels between how reviews. So here's an example. Great example is when I read the New York Times and it was like the first Jackass movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the New York Times is like the last bastion of reviewing, which was like Mr. Knoxville and Mr. Steve O. They always said Mr. Light the M80 out of each other's anus or whatever. It was like written like the most like crazy
proper.
Shit
yeah.
proper. And they were like, oh, the amount of physical comedy, like they broke the movie down brilliantly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they gave it, I think, a good review. And that movie is one of the fucking hilarious movies.
Yeah.
But it wasn't high. That wasn't their high end art or whatever. And it was reviewed properly and good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then around that era, 05-ish, 06, we started where people like Mr. Kennedy, who looks like a fucking, you know, Tourette, whatever. They just talk shit like his mother's vagina should have never had him. And that's when it became, they didn't review your project.
The
they
work.
Reviewed your face.
Yeah.
They reviewed your personality. They reviewed your image.
If they liked past work or not.
Yes.
Not the work that you're submitting and that you want people to watch.
It became cunt. People say it's snarky, it's cunty. And anyone who doesn't like that, don't get it. It's fucking cunty.
Yeah.
I fucking hate snark because it is the beginning of the death of vulnerability. And that's what I think a lot of comedy is missing in the comics I like and comedy I like is vulnerable.
Yeah.
I hate like too cool for school. No, you're not. Give me 30 seconds with you. I'll fucking find your soft spot. I hate that shit.
Yeah, dude.
I hate it. I hate too cool for school.
And Trump, you think Trump's got a soft side? No, he might be the only one who does. He might be the only guy who sees a kid trip and fall and drop his ice cream and goes, well, you should have been holding it tighter. You know?
He's a hurt little boy inside.
But one thing I want people to go, if they haven't seen Heckler, is because you can go back now and watch it and realize how much worse.
It's way worse now.
It's gotten, like, however bad it was right there, where you just had to deal with a couple of punks with a blog who submit to Rotten Tomatoes. Now you have to deal with every single person on Twitter.
So can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
So you guys, how long, when did you start comedy? What age?
19, so 13 years ago.
Right, you and me.
Stand up, you mean?
Yeah.
2007.
Yeah.
No, the comedy with the puppets. No.
The Two Girls One Cup fandom.
Yeah.
So like, all right, when I started, like the early 90s.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would never talk shit about another comic or a producer. I wouldn't talk shit about anyone because A, it's bad business, and B, as you go on, you realize how small the community is, right?
Yeah.
And I find myself, like this Twitter, there are comics that I never heard of, like in small, like there was a comic in some city the other day who was like taking shots at me. I'm like, that to me is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
How does this? Do you find that nuts or no? Because
no,
it's like
I completely
insane.
Do.
I like Dustin, and I got no beef with Dustin. But you know, I use him as an example. Like, I wouldn't talk shit about Dustin Diamond, and I'm only saying that is because, you know, people like use him sometimes as a punchline.
Yeah,
I like Dustin. He's a good dude. I wouldn't talk shit about Tom Cruise. Whatever the distance is between those two, they're all same to me because it's fucking our business.
And
I don't get it. Yeah. How does that work?
Everyone's trying. Everyone's got a different path. Everyone's trying to fucking get their shit going. So what is it? It's. I mean,
does this happen to you?
Oh yeah.
Does it happen to you?
The root of it is. I mean, it is putting somebody down to make yourself feel better. So it's like all insecurities.
But they put an at you. Adam
it's like,
Ray.
Oh, so you want me to see this.
Yeah.
But that's bizarre because it's like clearly you don't think I have any value because like I'm going to screenshot that if it really affected me and I'm not going to use you and you might think I can't like work with you, but I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
No, and I mean, hell, this goes, I remember when the Lakers drafted Larry Nance Jr., someone went through his Twitter and then found a tweet where he was like, oh man, Kobe definitely raped that girl.
Oh!
And then he's teammates with him.
Ooh.
So it's like, dude, it's like you never know when paths will cross. You never know when someone's going to have a show and have an opportunity to like say, oh, you know who'd be perfect for that part? That guy in Des Moines I worked with. He was really funny and crazy, but like if he's right for the part or if she's right for the part, you totally would. But now because he said, oh, Jamie Kennedy, whatever, now you're not going to do that. And
right,
and
you remember that shit. I think I do. Well, I pocket that stuff
of
away.
Of course, I can't remember all of it because it's actually unhealthy. But my bottom line is, when I did Heckler, it wasn't like that. It's so much worse now. Yeah. I'm glad that you guys told me you get it. Not that I'm sorry you get it.
No,
but it's
love
like,
it.
It's bizarre to me, and I've actually just gone. It's just weird, and I don't even like to deal with it.
I was responding a lot, and then Chris D'Elia told me, he goes, "Dude, just don't respond and block it and move
but
on."
But people, it's okay with people. But it's like literally like a comic or want to be an actor in a small town. It's like, excuse
from one
me?
Of your own, you're like, what are you doing, man? What I do
this
to
is
you?
A bro, this is a fraternity.
It is.
A sorority, too. Sorry. It's everything.
The way the comedians react when like maybe, you know, somebody, you know, has a rough road and ends up, you know, passing away. Like the way people rally around that, like even depending on their level. It happens all the time, which is really like, you know, sweet and makes you feel really proud to be a part of something like this. On the same token, it should be reciprocated with the lack of abuse at somebody who's trying to get their shit going. Unless somebody is straight up like stealing comics and bad, like,
that's
or stealing
different.
Jokes.
That's different.
But
that's
like,
different.
Just to go out of your way to be like,
that's different.
Look at this guy up there. What hack shit?
Yeah.
All right, man, let him figure it out. Like,
yes. Mm-hmm. My whole thing is, it's just that it's good to hear that because it's bizarre, but you know, it's a community. Yeah. Whether, you know, you're on the road all the time, whether you're in LA all the time, whether you're in fucking Austin, wherever, it is a community. And I know that since I'm telling you, since I turned 45, it's like, I've known this before, but it's so hard, this business, this form, this life, that it's just like, man, if you got something going, God bless you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just fucking
hard. And one thing I'd put out is I think there's some people that have a fear that like, oh, if he makes it or if she makes it, there's no room for me.
Not true.
Not true at all.
Not true.
If you're good, there's room for all of us.
Yes. Even if you stink, there's room for you. Let's get that out of the way. I mean, you know,
there's room for you too.
Even if you're great, you may never make it. I mean, it's a constant process of making, but you may not. There are people that I know that are amazing.
Yeah.
But it's just not talent. It's tenacity. It's maybe it's looks. Maybe it's
a little bit of luck.
It's attitude. It's a lot of things. It's people want to be around you. There's so many.
Yeah.
It's the fucking moments.
And some heat. Yeah.
I was talking to somebody today, and they're like, "How do you feel that?" How you in the 90s when you were working so much in the movies, why did it work for you so much? And I go, well, I was lucky because Hollywood was making movies at that time about high school and college, and I was the right age.
Yeah.
Now, I still had to get the part. But when's the last time you've seen a movie like Can't Hardly Wait? Right? When have you seen a Scream?
That good?
Well, like, but no, when have you seen a high school? There's not many high school movies. When's the last time you've seen Empire Records?
No.
Clueless?
American Pie?
None of that.
Yeah, it's not.
It's fucking, if you're not a superhero. Right,
so, yeah.
By the way, all those movies at Blockbuster, all gone.
So that's just part. I mean, look, I'm lucky. I mean, I'm good. But I also had timing. I mean, that was the right time in that town. So
and
that's
hell,
cool
anything.
Of you to recognize that. But I mean, but also, right place, right time. But then you did have to deliver in those moments.
Yeah. But there's many things. It's just like, people think it's one thing. It's fucking many things.
Now, one thing that my mom said to me when I came down here, and this will segue us into this next
from
thing.
From Seattle.
Yeah. Can you do about 20 more minutes?
Whenever you want. Wait, how long have we been going?
This is good.
How long do you usually do it?
We usually do an hour.
Oh, we're going
Sometimes
over.
We do 90 if it's good. Really fucking great.
So, hold on. The parlor's closed?
Up in Seattle?
Yeah.
The Seattle one did. The Bellevue's open.
Greatest fun people, but boy, they drink a little. Yeah.
They get hammered out there.
But they hey, I always do the joke when I don't even mention anything, like the word Seahawks, because it's always like, hey, do you know where the Seahawks? Like every, like anything that runs. Hey, I was going to get the mashed peas. Hawks! There's such fucking marks for the Hawks. You know what Mark is? Wrestling?
Yeah.
There are fucking marks for him.
We're gung-ho.
Yeah, you're a bird. Are you a super mark
for it? Also because I'm a huge basketball fan. So when we lost the Sonics, like a lot of people go... You know, and the Hawks got good, but also people definitely put a lot more of their energy into that. So, and there's also a lot of bandwagon fans. When the Seahawks got good, a lot of people just came out of the woodwork.
But it's great club, but they get wasted. You agree?
They wasted, and there's a nightclub attached. Yes. Not a fan of that.
Yeah.
I try to get that adjusted every time I go back because I'm like, guys, I don't. How many times during my set on Saturday night do I want to be like? And I'm like, hey, can we turn down the club? And they're like, man, the club was here first.
Yeah.
And then Jamie Massage in the back, he's like, buddy, say something like, if you want the music down, you fuck face, I farted in your cereal and put giant bust in your baby's dick hole. You know? What's with the transportation going in fucking orifices, Jamie?
I don't know.
It's comedy.
It's funny. It's not expected,
it's
buddy.
It's unexpected because you think I say not that, but then I say that.
Can't put the train in asshole, buddy. So if you say put train in asshole, it's funny.
You say chugga chugga poo poo.
It's hilarious, buddy.
It's great. It's comedy.
I farted in your cereal.
That sounds like a weird Shakespeare insult. I fought in your cereal.
Or the name of my next album.
It might be.
So when I came down here from Seattle, my mom, the one thing she said is she goes, you'll never be as good as Neve Campbell. And that's what I want to use to segue into. No, she never said
that's
that.
So funny.
But I was just looking for a segue. So we want to talk about Scream. Right?
Go for it.
Yeah. Just, I guess, and if at any point we rehash something, you're like, man, I've told that story. But we try to.
I like that you know that because I have told certain stories.
Yeah.
Well, sure. And
we pride ourselves on not trying to.
I have them told them to your audience. How good
for sure.
How big is this audience?
Pretty big.
Pretty big.
Yeah, I'll tell you off air.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, off air.
Yeah.
Off air. It's an off air.
He's got a big off air audience.
He's on a podcast. He's on About Last Night. What are you doing?
I'll tell Marty Bauer how big the podcast is. So
I like that you said that right away. How big? Pretty big.
Yeah.
It's pretty big. He was half hard right there. Hey, how big? Pretty big. It's pretty big. That's what it is. Don't you
quarter
you
chub right
you,
now?
You asking Dick numbers?
Dick was already out. I'm 18
to 34 Mexican women. Yeah. We're fine. Don't you worry about it. 16 to 19 black.
Oh,
all right.
That was my demo when I was Wolverine. Was kids and heavyset Latino women. That was my demo. Yeah, loved Wolverine because the kids were like, Wolverine's the greatest. What's his favorite food? I was like, potato salad. Who fucking knows? And then the heavyset Latino women were like, grab my ass because they were like, oh, he's got the spandex. That's a terrible Latino woman.
That was
woman
a weird
voice.
That's what you went through? Your heavyset Latina woman sounded a lot like Jay Leno.
Wait, hey, you might squeeze on a Wolverine half real quick?
You got the hair. You got the lid.
Yeah.
So
okay, so Scream, do you hear about it? Do you like, first, like it's announced that like, oh man, Craven's doing this movie. It's like...
I was a big proponent of making your own... karma or whatever, or whatever thing you have.
That's
to.
It. That's the saying. I mean, Bono said that too.
Like Owen Wilson,
make
your own karma. Like Owen Wilson, one of the fucking funniest people, still wrote all his own shit for a while.
Yeah,
I mean, so he had to. Everybody has to. Anyway, so I used to get the breakdown a lot.
Yep.
That was a big deal. And I started getting with APA, and then I had an agent there, and I saw it in the breakdown that this part. And I circled it. I was like, I gotta go in. I told my agent at the time I was getting like Ellen, and I auditioned for Romeo and Juliet. I don't know why I'm pointing.
Wow.
Can see.
Yeah.
And,
I don't know. Because I look like a Romeo.
Yeah, it was Romeo.
I get it.
And I was like, you gotta get me in. And then after multiple tries, she got me in. Mm-hmm. So I went in, and it was like a little horror movie. And she's like, you're really good. So she was like, I really think you're good. And I was like, okay, if you hear that, you don't know anything. Mm-hmm. And she's like, boom. And then she called my agent and said, can he come back next week and meet Wes? And I was like, oh, shit.
Whoa.
So then I go back, and he was like, yep, you're good. Like that. Like, totally. I don't know.
Total business.
Wes is just, you know, God rest his soul, was a low-key dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, man.
Were you nervous to even meet him and go in for that?
Oh, yeah.
Because were you aware of who Wes Craven is?
Oh, yeah. Okay, one of my first videos
at
the B-Buster,
B-Buster.
Was...
sounds like a wrestling finishing move.
We
good
didn't
God almighty, it's the B-Buster!
The B-Buster! was a nightmare. So that was like that was like you rent it and you have it for 5 days and it was like boom. So I go in and then, you know, I'm trying to get stuff and then I got Romeo and Juliet, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I was down there and I totally had pink hair and I looked all different. And then they said, you have to fly back to do a screen test for Scream. And I'm like, this is awesome. And they're like, but you got to fly back. So they didn't know I was in town and they're not going to fly you back.
Yeah, right.
They're like, you got to fly back. And I'm like, okay. So I get like to work with production. I was in Mexico. I flew back for two movies that day. I flew back for Scream. Mm-hmm. And John Leguizamo had a movie called The Pest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great movie.
I read for the German guy, right? And I was like, screen test for two. I know. The Pest is funny.
It is.
It's funny.
It was like, it was almost incredible.
It was his like coming out party.
Yeah.
I mean that in a comedy way.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I do it and they walk in the room and my hair is pink. And Wes is like, your hair, it's pink. And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this other part. I'm doing a movie, Romeo and Juliet, Leonardo DiCaprio. He's like, yeah, you think this character has pink hair? And I'm like, no. And I'm like, can we? And like, it was like eight producers. And it was me. I think it was Breckenmeyer. I think it was Jason Lee.
Okay.
Wow.
And then I heard that Seth Green was in the mix.
Is that like the group that was always...
That was a big group.
That's always kind of together.
A big, solid group.
That was a group of different... We were always different. You know, Jason got Mallrats, so he was kind of hot and annoying. And Seth had Can't Hardly Wait, but that was after. But he was hot before that. He was on Roseanne. And Brecken got Clueless.
Yeah.
And I just went in, and I'm like, fuck. And I thought I killed the Pest and tanked Scream.
Interesting.
Wow.
So I was...
Never know.
No, because I was like, this guy Edward is a German, and I was talking like this, and I said, no, listen here, you're going to be the Pest. And whatever the fuck.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I was like doing this whole thing, and then I had like, listen, there are certain rules. And I just, because I couldn't read the room. Fly back to Mexico, I do it, and then like, I'll try to make it quick. But
no, don't at all.
Because it's like, you want to soundbite it. But my agent is like really funny. Her name is Katie. And she had two clients. She had a lot of clients at the time, but she had Rose McGowan and me.
Nice.
And Katie. And she's like, honey, she's like, you did really well. You have a chance. She's like, you're like in the final 10. And so like they screen tested 10. And then like every day I get a call and she goes, honey, oh my God, you did really good. You're in the final 8. I'm not making this up. This is how
now, the whole time, Leguizamo was also in Romeo and Juliet. So are you going up to him like, hey, dude, fucking.
You know what's crazy? I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And I asked him that, and he was always just like, I do remember that right now. I just felt that.
Yeah.
He was always like, yeah, man, you'd be great. Yeah, you'd be great. I'm like, all right, well, audition. He's like, yeah, you'd be great. And I didn't realize. I literally thought that that's how you did it. And I'm like, doing a scene with him. I do remember bugging him. I'm like, dude.
You have to.
And he's like, yeah, man, you'd be great. Yeah, that'd be funny. But like, he was probably letting me off the hook. Yeah, but I don't think it was just his decision.
No, right. Yeah, there's a whole group of people behind him.
So I think I found out pretty early on that I didn't get that. And he's like, yeah, man, you'd be great.
You tell him you didn't get it. You'd be great, man. No, you don't understand. I didn't get it.
You'd be great, man.
You'd do great at not getting it.
You'd be great. You were great. I think it was, yeah, man, you were great. It literally changed
but other
in between.
Dude, I wasn't there. You literally shot the movie, and I wasn't there. No, you were great. Thanks so much.
Man, you would have been great. You would have been.
That's a great sketch.
But like, then, so I see the Katie call me the next day. She's like, you're doing really good. Like, you're in the final 6. And then she called the next day. She goes, honey, you're in the fucking final 4. Like this. Then the next day she goes, oh my God, it's between you and Jason Lay. Like, I think it was either I'm pretty sure it was Jason or Brecken. She's like, it's between you and Jason and you and Brecken. Then a long story. I got the part. Everybody in the movie, though, had a credit. I literally, but now I'm like, you don't have any credits. I'm like, I'm fucking shooting a credit.
Yeah.
Right here. I have a credit. Do you not see Vans? You not sell Vans? And they're like, well, Rose doesn't really have any credits either. So it was like.
Put up a blockbuster in Europe and see if my name doesn't come up.
Yeah. So so I got the part and I lost the part.
What?
A lot of people don't know this. And I believe I think the studio really wanted Jason Lee. I'm 90% sure they wanted Jason Lee.
They want someone with some.
Because he had Jason and Mallrats and he's great and he had his own thing. And I was like, come on, man, what the fuck am I going to get my. Anyway, it was a big process. And Wes Craven, you know, to this day, I tell everybody he made my career. He said, that's the guy I want. That is who Randy is. And that's who I want. And that's who I want to make the fucking movie with.
Oh, nice. My God.
And the fucking Weinsteins, you know, bended. And that's how I got the part.
Dude, that's amazing.
So when you say about a break, that's a break beyond the break. Now, Baz Luhrmann also gave me a part, but I think he had a lot of control of Romeo and Juliet, and he's like, yeah, you great, come on down, you do it. But Wes literally said, you don't have any credits, the studio doesn't know you enough, but you're my guy.
And that is amazing.
Dude, that's fucking...
Yeah, that was to this day, I always...
Did he tell you that, or did...
He told me that to my face.
Because that's way more impactful, right, than hearing that from Katie?
Oh, yeah.
So that's Craven, Ted, you're his guy. He said he likes say something, but like, you're his guy. The pink hair thing was really cool.
Hey, honey. Craven loves
you. So, John, I didn't get the pest, but I got Scream.
Oh, man, you're going to be great.
That's
an emotional roller coaster of all time.
Oh,
I mean, I can't even imagine, dude, because you probably knew, or maybe you didn't know, what that movie was going to do.
Well, I mean, that genre really,
had an idea. It was amazing.
Yeah, that genre, like, it's easy to look back now and it be like, yeah, Scream was like, no, the teen horror, the way that was set up, that was dead.
Yeah.
It wasn't happening at that time. And then Scream, massive success, spawns all these sequels and a ton of copycats. Like,
it's funny because you were like 13 or 12 at the time.
Yeah,
you
so
even,
I was right
you
there.
You even knew it. 12 year old, I was like, yo, man, this genre's dead.
Yeah.
It's fucking dead. All right.
Hey, my balls had dropped by 13.
No, but you're right. The last movie, no disrespect to Eddie, was Vampire in Brooklyn. Wes did that. Mm-hmm. Eddie did that. And that was like the last like horror movie. And things weren't working. Like, Jennifer Aniston did Leprechaun.
Yeah.
And there was like nothing. And then Scream was the first. And it was so inventive.
Yeah. And then the teen horror slasher thing between, oh God, there was I Know What You Did Last Summer.
You
there
know,
was
Urban Legend.
There was Urban Legend. There was Jeepers Creepers.
Dude,
oh my God. They just kept coming back. Like, because they're like, well, they did it. So we get some kids, have them die, and then we make money.
Did it make a dollar? Okay, get it in there. Saul. Uh oh. Somebody's going to call me. Saul. Get the added machine. Oh God.
What was the craziest part of, well, shooting it must have been a blast. Yeah, it seemed like it was a cool crew of people.
Here, you want a story.
I
sense you sensing a story.
Yeah.
So here, I'll tell you a story.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know what I've told you. I'm a pretty good guest, right? You don't have to really draw stuff out of me.
They're the best.
I'm
very generous.
I'm a top. Give me a top eighter.
Yeah.
No, man. You were great. You were a great guest, man.
So Scream, like you know, when you were talking about prepare. I don't know if you said this.
Yeah.
But I literally would do all my lines in a room. Not coke.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like had a lot of my big scenes in the beginning, except my rules scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I was literally do them every day and just to make sure I had them because I was so scared of losing a line. So I got a couple of scenes, the video store out of the way. I got the fountain out of the way. I got a couple of scenes out of the way. And then I had time. And even though it was up north, like it was just stay up there. So I was like up there for like 6 weeks and I like, you know, worked for the first week and a half and then I had time. So I started getting comfortable, and I didn't, you know, Arquette was working, and he's like, yeah, bro, you know, you chill, man, go to the gym. And so, and long story short is, it was a Sunday, and everybody was hanging out, and it was like, it was my first time of really understanding what a set is. You know, it's camp,
yeah.
Anybody not listening, and it's beautiful when you're working with all these, you know, Courtney was at the height of Friends, and
yeah.
She was a sweetheart, and, you know, Nev, and everyone's coming up.
Dude, yeah.
And we had this, like, Rasta dude, right, and he had, like, this coffee grinder. And he had all these juices. And I'm like, yo, man, can I get a carrot juice? And he's like, yeah, man, you get that juice, man. I'm going to try to do Rasta. Yeah, man. He's like, a little bit. You do that, man. And, you know, like, I was the first time I really drank wine because we shot it in Sonoma. I mean, it was awesome.
Oh, right? Wow.
And I drank that juice, and I'm like, yo, man, what were those little, like, bumpy things? And he's like, yo, man, those were mushrooms. And I'm like, yo, you got mushroom juice? Like, he's like, no, man, those are mushrooms. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, man, you're going to be feeling that juice. And I was like, what? And basically, I did mushrooms for the first time, without knowing it, with the juice. And it was a cap. It was a cap, right?
That's a good amount.
Well, that's a good amount. And so Scream was the first time I ever did mushrooms. And let me tell you something. It was fucking glorious.
Oh, yeah.
And I just remember, like, sitting in a room. It was me. It was Nev Campbell. It was David. And we're in a hotel room. and we were like, I was like writing sonnets. I was looking at a curtain. I was probably for 5 hours in this room with it open. I never had so much fun in a hotel room window.
Were you a part of it? Were people like, is he okay? Or
no,
like,
everybody was like, well, I don't know what I can put on.
No, everyone's having a good time.
Yeah, so
other
we
people
were all,
possibly.
Possibly.
Not other carrot juice likes, drinkers were, yeah. Were in attendance.
A lot of people like their roughage.
I mean, I saw Matthew Lillard's performance. He was probably on something.
I don't think he was there for that
I'll
one.
I'll be right back.
He might have been a little. But that's love to you, Matthew. Yeah, yeah. But we're there, and I'm sitting there, and it was like fucking crazy, and it was that like really let me become loose. So I was loose. So like a couple week, like a week go later, people started. I don't know how much I can say. Would be pairing off.
Yeah.
So you could see that okay. People were going to sure. Start hooking up.
Yeah. Sure.
And it happens on sets, right?
I mean, it's
especially
not
with a young, good looking crew like that. Like, come on.
Arquette married Cox, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So.
Arquette and Courtney, you can see what happening. Mm-hmm. And Matthew and Ev were
sure.
Hanging.
Sure. Oh. Sure.
We're starting to get friendly. And Skeet had a girlfriend. And Rose, I think at the time, was dating Marilyn Manson.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And literally, it was like just me and Earl, the camera guy.
And
like people
how
are like,
big was he?
But I just remember at one point I was like wasted on wine. I was like, he's like, it's just me and you, buddy. And I'm like, I wish I had mushrooms.
Yeah.
But literally, I just remember being all depressed because like everyone hooked up. But that was, I literally was like my character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it
a virgin, so you lived.
Yeah, dude,
so
I
when
did.
Could you tell when it came out that it was like game changer, right? But again, like it's a bunch of things, like you said, but like this was a nice fucking
it
booster.
Well, we read the script, and if we read scripts, they usually stink, right? And they're not easy to read. So Scream was like a beautiful, like, I don't know, it was like a book. You could read it like mm-hmm. that. And when we were doing it, we just felt we had such chemistry. And I thought, well, this is really interesting. And we thought it would be like, if it could have been like one of Wes's other movies, like Nightmare or something, it could have been like a cool cult, made like $20 million. And, you know, if we
sure.
if we did good on video,
yeah.
you know, if like we came out and did okay and then we did really good on video, it'd be cool. And then, fuck, we came out against Mars Attacks.
Which had every star in it.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I'm going to be the president talking to aliens.
Yeah.
And I remember going, this is fine. And it was like, and we came against Clooney and One Fine Day.
Oof.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah, that was one of his first really.
It was a motherfucking stacked weekend. But the two things we had was it was Christmas and it was a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing like that since like a Black Christmas.
Right.
It was like a movie that came out. And the review in Entertainment Weekly said, if Mars Attacks is the big homage to like B-movie fun,
mm-hmm.
Scream is its smart little brother. And mm-hmm. that gave us like cred. Mm-hmm. And then when we came out, I went to the premiere and it was small in Westwood. And then I went in Universal and I watched it with a crowd.
Yeah.
And then this is what I do. I go to different thing. I watched a little bit at UCLA
mm-hmm.
and the reaction was crazy. And then I went down to Magic Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And a hood theater.
Yeah.
And I watched it there and the reaction was off the hook. And I said, okay, we might have something. Because it was hitting the quadrants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the girl's all like, hey, guy, don't go in there. And the guy's like, yo, man, you going fucking die. Don't go to bed. And then
that was,
I know it's stereotypical.
Oh, no, but
by the way, that was funny. To me the first movie that I had experienced as a kid where I was like, oh, you get to talk back to the movie?
Yes.
And it's actually everyone's doing it and is okay with it?
That's how you know white people were talking at the screen. That's how you knew it was going to be a hit. That's how you do.
Put it in the book.
But we opened to $6 million and then the next weekend we went up.
Yeah.
That was bizarre. So we never, you never go up.
Because it's all it, that
never
was
go up.
Word of mouth, and just it's kind of like the same thing that happened with Get Out, where it just happened.
That opened big.
Yeah, it opened big, but then it got bigger.
Yeah,
and now it's insane. So like people saw it, talked about it, and this is before the internet. This is before you could just really
tweet
out and be like, go see it.
Yes.
Yeah, people really, and then prank calls went up. I remember like everyone was trying to prank call people after that. Like it sort of brought that back.
Murders were happening.
People were like, stabbing people looked like fun. And they did that. It was insane.
I feel like we somehow covered a lot, but I feel like we just scratched the surface because you're a great conversationalist. So you got to come back.
I'm down.
You have your own podcast. Hate to break it to you.
Yes. It's slow. It's slow getting off the ground. Yeah, I started it. Yes.
By the way, it's called Hate to Break It
Hate
to You.
Break
it's
it
not
to
Adam saying, you have your own podcast. Hate to Break It To You.
Sorry, Vince, kid. You got a podcast now.
But wait, I have a question because I did five, but I got so busy. But you have to do one every week, right?
You should. It's kind of consistent.
We do two a week. Consistency helps.
Yes. Okay.
But sorry. But at least
send people
one.
There. It's all me ranting right now, but then eventually I'm going to get guests.
But also, you're really good at that. And so,
people are going to hear that here, and then people can go check yours out. So, Hate to Break It To You.
Yeah.
On iTunes, yes. Jamie Kennedy's podcast.
Stand subscribe up to that. JamieKennedy.com?
Yes.
For tour dates?
For tour dates.
Hell yeah.
I only got one more date right now.
That's fine.
I know. You got a lot of dates booked?
A handful.
Yeah.
This guy's a road dog.
You're on the road. I know. I stop. I'm probably going to start at the end of the summer again.
There you go.
I'm going to do in town this summer.
See you live.
Yes.
And then when you go, tell them your best blockbuster story.
I will.
Yeah.
It's great. People really enjoy hearing that shit, though. Like, especially for somebody like you as successful to, like, know that all happened.
Oh,
like,
dude.
It's still
how
inspiring to me to hear that. You know?
I got way more crazy shit than that.
Well, you
got
to come back. Right. Maybe in the next couple weeks you come back. We'll do another one.
No, now he's done it once. He's going to do it again. Then he'll sell some tickets.
Yes. If I can get at least 5 tickets more to the fucking Tempe Improv from this podcast.
There you go.
I mean, it was just fun to do anyway.
Yeah.
But that's my dream.
Yeah.
To Tempe.
Thanks, Jamie.
Guys, I appreciate it. Much love.
This was a blast, dude.
And always remember, he's on TV. You're on TV.
It would have been great.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help.
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.